Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A better today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, 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 welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. I want you to participate with this show. No matter where in the world you're listening, no matter how you're listening, I want you to know this is your show. This is our show, and you can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. We're going to have an awesome show today. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about science, God, truth, and life. As always, we're going to be real. As always, I'm not going to hold anything back. If it makes you uncomfortable, think about why. If it makes you laugh, enjoy. If it makes you angry at me, think about why. And just know that we're having this conversation. I like to have this show to be like a conversation we're having at the dinner table, a family gathered. We may disagree, but let's be respectful of each other's opinions. Let's be respectful of each other and conduct ourselves accordingly. Before we get into the show, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. For me, what it's all about is action, getting out there and participating in this wonderful, wonderful life, writing your own story and being a little bit of someone else's. Be part of someone else's story, not by imposing yourself, but by participating and helping them, by sharing, by loving, by being compassionate, by being forgiving, by being friendly, by taking actions of love, not just words, but actions of love, actions of compassion, taking actions of peace, taking the step towards something wonderful. Get out there. Never, ever forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Go out there and participate in this great journey. The power of one is one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Apply it to whatever you want. The power of one. Hey, let's get to the show. We're talking about science, God, truth, and life. Oh, there's so much to talk about, especially today. Today's a day that people are not only today, but in these days, people are reflecting so much on science and religion and God and the essence of life and what is truth and philosophy. And there are countless debates, and the debates get nasty. They get nasty, and both sides make so much sense of it. And for me, as a student of humanity, of a student of humanity that has been a lifelong student of Christianity, that has raised Catholic and has continued reading, refining, improving, enhancing my own ability to understand and share these deep truths. For me, someone who's been studying science like you can't imagine, I've learned science back and forth. I feel so blessed that I have been created in a way that my memory retention for things that I read and my ability to understand complex things seems to come a little easier than it comes to other folks. I have a tremendous retention ability and tremendous ability to comprehend challenging things, and I feel so blessed for it. And I feel so blessed for it that I'm able to share my findings and share my truths with all of you, and enough of you around the world where what I'm saying resonates with you, and for me that's a tremendous, tremendous blessing. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's not be politically correct. Let's not be nasty with each other, but let's talk about it. And I want to tell you what I think, what I have found. And I laid it out very specifically into these four places: science, God, truth, and life. Let's start with science. Science, I find that science, what we have learned so much about how this universe works. And what I mean by we have, in the years and years, scientists, even though science is almost like art, it doesn't really get nearly the support that it should, and the support that it does get. I know that when I say that, some people are like, are you kidding me? I always hear about science, these new tests and these new... Most of that science is funded by corporations. So it's really they're just trying to get medical or scientific backing for the commercials they're sending you. So they're spending a fortune trying to get scientists to see the things their way. And the way that that's structured is that they will hire a team of scientists or doctors, and this is, becomes those scientists and doctors' livelihood. And they say, well, you know, we're so-and-so company, and we're hiring you because we think we're right. And let us get you a living and a house and the cars and hopefully get you to put your kids through college through proving us right. Or you don't have to prove us right, but then we'll find another doctor who will. So that's how it's structured. So it comes against their will. So in a lot of ways, you think that there's so much science out there, and there's really not. We see, I know, and I've gone on and on about this one, that we're racing to the cure of cancer or autism, whatever it is. We're racing to get that money. We're keeping you informed. We're updating. You hear all these things. Let's keep it in the news. We're keeping awareness. Awareness is a key word they use, and all these things. And you realize that there's a tremendous industry that's dedicated to helping you deal with these things. The drugs that go along with some of these disorders and diseases, the drug companies make billions of dollars. The doctors and researchers in there make tons of money. And the worst thing that could ever happen to them is some sort of cure. That would be the worst thing. And most of these programs aren't looking for a cure. And they're upfront about it. They'll tell you, we're looking to keep awareness. We're finding new ways of treating and that kind of stuff. Very few will actually use the word cure because they know that science isn't really dedicated to curing. There's no money in curing diseases. There's only money in treating diseases. So you think that we have a lot of science, but a lot of it is actually marketed science. It's science that's owned by corporations. But we do have quite a bit of science that is a natural science, that there are scientists and some brilliant people out there really uncovering and discovering life, what it is, how life works, how it came to be, and physics and gravity and the sun and the moon and the stars. There are scientists dedicated to that. And over the course of, let's say, a couple thousand years, over the course of that time, we as people have learned so much about how this universe works. We've learned so much about how this universe works. Science uncovers and discovers the how of things. How does this work? And I appreciate the how because I love to know how things work. I love to know how things are put together. I love to know how the mechanism works. I love to know how it all happens. I love to know this. I think the how is super important. And you could see why scientific fanatics would say what that's what this universe is. It's a how universe. And it makes a lot of sense when you get deeper into the science. I know that I am fascinated by some of the things I read about science and the brain and how the brain does this and how this happens. I'm fascinated by this. So I could see people's interest in the how of things. Unfortunately, because we are patterned thinkers, we like to keep a pattern. Our brain wants to keep us in pattern. That's why we have so much trouble breaking free from our conditioned thoughts and breaking our habits. The reason that we have that trouble is because we are patternist thinkers. We think on a pattern. So science, while figuring out all these hows, the hows that we didn't know before, the hows that dogmatic religions had turned, had tried to explain and did so ignorantly and have been since corrected by modern science, because science has told us so many hows, they've become dogmatic themselves and they've tried to eradicate God. Over the past couple of thousand years, religion has become synonymous with God. Religion has become synonymous with God. It's hard to ever even say the word God without somebody seeing somebody's face glaze over like, oh, here comes the preacher. Here comes someone who's going to try and get me back to church. And immediately we are conditioned to associate religion with God. That is what happens. That is the result of a couple of thousand years of conditioning. The greatest marketers in the first huge marketing campaign was that of religion. And it was so effective. It was so effective that we still feel it in our bones today. Even if you weren't raised religious, you will draw the correlation between religion and God, because society has it embedded in its consciousness. And on a global level, we are becoming less religious. But at the same time, not just passively less religious, we are becoming antagonistic towards the religious, because we correlate religion and God. So science figured out the how of many things that religion used to claim to know. And in doing so, science has not tried to eradicate religion. They are trying to eradicate God. That, of course, brings us to our next section, which is God. So what I find is that God, and I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about religion. I was raised Catholic, and I still consider myself a student of Christianity. But I believe that religion, that this is my own personal belief, and I know that this drives some people crazy and drives some people angry. My personal beliefs about religion and biblical and spiritual scriptures is that they are books of not necessarily of stories to be believed, but instead of messages to be received. I feel that they are books of literature. They are powerful books that explain the people of the day, their experience with their God, their experience with their spirituality, their experience of lives, whether it was desert nomads that were writing these things or princes, whoever it was. They were describing an experience of spirituality. It's almost Shakespearean in the love, in the tragedy, in the nastiness. There is blatant ignorance in there. But all, when you put it in the context of literature and ancient literature, it is beautiful, powerful, and profound. That's how I view it. The story themselves, do I feel it's direct history? No. No, I don't. But for me, that does not affect my understanding of a God. Now, what drives people crazy and what gets people arguing with me is that I don't anthropomorphize God. I don't humanize God. And the reason I don't, and people will be quick, they jump on you nasty right away. So, Steve, are you saying you're an atheist? Does that mean you're an atheist because you don't humanize God and you don't tell the story of God as if he's a person? No, I don't think that means it at all. I think actually my personal belief is the reason I don't humanize God, the reason I don't anthropomorphize God is because I don't want to limit God to my imagination. I don't want to limit God to my imagination or yours. So no, I don't want my God to be jealous and angry and vindictive, and I don't want that. That's why religions get in so many heated debates, because they humanize a God, and then their basis is books written thousands of years ago by people who knew what they knew thousands of years ago, that we've advanced in our learning since. So because they take it literally, they find themselves often in a losing battle in which they're ridiculed. Not so much for their belief, but for their dogmatic way of holding on to things that have been, many of the things that have been proven without a shadow of a doubt to be false. Now, I respect your beliefs. I respect that you believe that. And I ask that you respect mine. For me, in my opinion, my version of God is so much more powerful to not put him into my limitations. And what I learn about my universal God is that while science gives you the how, God, not religion, I don't really want to discuss religion too much because for me that's, in my personal opinion, folks, for me that's like discussing the Easter Bunny or to talk about it in historical sense like that is to talk about creation or whatever in a historical sense, in the religious sense, to me would be just as much of a waste of time as to talk about how the stork is how babies come. So I instead want to do a universal, all-encompassing God without the dogma of religion. And what I find is while science gives you the how, this God of purpose, this universal God of action gives you the why. Science can tell you the how, but it cannot tell you the why. It can give you patterns, but it can't give you purpose. Science can tell you so much of how the universe works. It's in connection with that God sense that explains further why it works that way. And that's the experience that I've had in studying not only the human experience, but in diving deep into science and deep into religious and spiritual studies. I'm finding that science has always been telling us the how, and God has always been telling us the why. But unfortunately, dogma gets in the way. Science says, no, this is only the one truth, the finite truth, and this is how it works, and there is no room for God in this scientific theorem. Well, God, who was hijacked by religions, they say, no, that's nonsense. God waved his magic wand, and God said this, and this happened. And because God was hijacked by a dogmatic idea of religion, just as science gets dogmatic and tries to eradicate God, the God folks get so dogmatic, they try to eradicate science. So these two have been fighting for centuries today's Christians or students of Christianity, many don't realize that the version of Christianity that you're getting is the Constantine version. Emperor Constantine created that Bible you hold. He created that Bible you hold. It was in the Nicene Council. And I think the third or fourth century, they got together and they created Christianity as you know it today. They put together that Bible as you know it today. They eliminated so many pieces, now known as the Christian Apocrypha. Those are books that were in the original Bible but were taken out. Most of those books deal with the strong humanity of Jesus, the very empowering life of other incredible people, including powerful women that are no longer really found in the modern day Bible, but powerful women, scriptures by women. Women with tremendous roles in the church and the ministry of not only the olden times, but in the Jesus era ministry, is empowered women, empowered people, empowered messages, and very, very human stories, all eliminated. As at the Nicene Council, they decided that Jesus were to be divine instead of just a really, really good, empowered person, as he was until that council. They decided that he would be divine and that they would adapt the pagan holidays, as so many cultures had done before. They adapted the pagan holiday, December 25th, and made Jesus born of a virgin and walking on water and bringing people back from the dead and all these things. They adapt these same stories that could be found 2,000-3,000 years before the story of Jesus. They adapted those same type of myths and figured that eventually the next generation will forget about the council. They didn't have internet back then. They didn't have encyclopedias back then. You know, history was only as old as the generation living it. So they knew that while it would be a rough haul at this moment, the following generation wouldn't know any better. They would just pick up the customs and carry on. And they did. And here we are a couple thousand years later, and we're living this culture, and few people know the origins of it. Unless you were just listening to what I said. So throughout those years, Constantine and them, we're talking about the Holy Roman Empire shutting down all kinds of scientific teachings. At the time, God was such a more powerful tool to have for control than science was. They didn't want, it is clear and very, very, very provable that historically empires wanted to dumb down the people so that they can control them better. You know, today, of course, there's a huge push for people to become educated, to go to colleges, to learn more, to maybe be more cultural. There's a huge push in industrialized nations. But back in the day, the last thing people wanted was for you to be educated. You've heard the stories where reading was against the law. You heard the stories where reading certain things were against the law. There are religions to this day that won't let you read anything that isn't approved reading. They'll tell you, oh, if you read that, that's anti our religion. That's not an approved source of information. There are religions today that still try to keep control of you by keeping you ignorant and trying to keep you away from the truth. They try and guilt you and scare you out of it. Well, religions back in the day did the same thing. They did it more violently and more overtly, not so covertly, but more overtly. And they would burn books and they would burn people and they would torture you if you were trying to find out the how things work. Religion hijacked God, and they said God is the how and the why, and they tried to eradicate science. Science fights back, and science says this is the how, and there is no why, and they try to eradicate God. And I'm telling you here today that this fight is not necessary. And until we bridge these two, the complete truth cannot and will not be known. That's why we don't know the complete truth. Because the two points of truth that we need are currently battling each other, and they've created an environment in which you have to almost pick one or the other. There are probably science people who love my views on science and the brain and how everything works. There are probably people listening to this show right now that hear me say God, and they're saying, oh, I can't believe Steve talking about God, because they cannot get out of the conditioned response that has been placed in our culture and in their mind that God is not religion. God could, that name could be, God is not a person. God could be synonymous by saying the universe or whatever. It is the quantum physics behind the how. It is the why behind the how. And it is clearly there. It is just that the concept has been hijacked, and we have to unlearn that damage that was put there so that we can bridge these two. The good news is, we know this sense of rationality, this structure of thought. When seeking the truth, we already use this. Science says they're seeking the truth, and they're right, and they get it. They get the truth. God also seeks the truth, and they're getting it. We're getting the how, we're getting the why, we're getting the pattern, we're getting the purpose. Each of them, however, is only getting one piece of the truth. For me, the human experience is maximized, understood, and you're able to take advantage of the fullness of your human potential when you bridge these two understandings. And I'm hoping that enough of you listening have reached the emotional, spiritual, and educational maturity to understand what I'm saying. If you have, this can be and will be a life-changing show. When we get back, we're going to hit the next topic, which is truth, where I will bring those two together. Be ready, folks. You've never heard anything like this before. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk more about science, God, truth, and life. Don't forget, our website is empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. You can check out stevemaraboli.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on YouTube, we're on Tumblr, we're on Pinterest. We're everywhere, baby, and we're not ever going to stop. You're listening to Empowered Living. We'll be right back.
Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Beautiful. Your beauty, just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success, is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale, because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true, the scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it.
It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, empoweredlivingradio.com, stevemaraboli.com. You check out abettertoday.com. We have programs running all over the world. Our mission is to help as many people to make sure the arms of empowerment can reach out and embrace everybody 100% free. We'll never ask you for your money. I don't want your money. I don't want your email address. I don't want anything. The only thing I want you to do is share. I want you to participate in this amazing journey called life. I want you to participate with your brothers and sisters. I want you to stop telling me about your God with your words and start showing me about your God with your actions. I want you to not tell me you love me. I want you to show me you love me. I want you to tell me you forgive or you're sorry or whatever. I want you to show it. I want us to live life as a verb. I want you to be loving, compassionate to your spouse, to your friends. I want you to be honest. I want you to do all these things, not only in your mind, not only in your wishes, your hopes, and your dreams, but we want you to live it. And the best way to do it is to show it and lead the way. We're all on the same team and in this together. That's what we do at A Better Today, and I'm honored to be the host of this show and to share this time with all of you everywhere over the world. We have hundreds of thousands of listeners all over the world. Last clocked, it was over 100 countries log in to listen to this show. Over 100 countries, hundreds of thousands of people, and our archives have been listened to by millions and millions of people, and it's an honor to be a part of this. And again, we're having a conversation like we're having a picnic, a barbecue, or we're at the dinner table sharing our ideas and observations. And today I'm sharing mine about science, God, truth, and life. And I've talked about science. I love science. I am honored when people consider me a scientific mind. Science for me, the how of things, is vital, absolutely vital. But I was also raised religious and eventually shed that religious covering to connect with the God they were trying to explain to me, a universal God that for me isn't a person. How dare I limit it like that? A universal God that understands science in a way that no scientist could ever understand. This universal understanding is the why of things. I explained how science is the how of things and how this universal God is the why of things. And how the two of them fighting for years and years, scientists fighting with the theologians and theologians claiming to represent God, but being nowhere near the true essence of God, have been fighting science. And now comes truth. Because truth is a huge problem for both science and God. When you try and make God a person and you put all kinds of rules and tell me that God cares what I eat on what day and what I think, and suddenly God is like Santa Claus. When I was a kid, they told me about Santa Claus, and if you better be good, and good things happen if you're good, and you'll get if you're good, and if you're bad, it'll be bad. Well, guess what? Life teaches you that that's not true. I know plenty of really good people who have had really bad things happen to them. And I know some really bad people who have had really good things happen to them. That's not how it works. So truth, your own experience of truth, overrides what you've been taught. Science tells you, oh, that just happens because it happens. That's how. There is no why. But innately, you know that there's a purpose for things. Innately, you know that nothing just happens. Innately, you know that things happen for a reason. You may not know that reason, but just because you don't know that reason, you know that there is still a reason. So the truth of our experience overrides the dogma of science. The truth of our experience overrides the dogma of what we're taught about God. And we end up in this emotional and spiritual limbo where we feel like we have to pick sides. What if you don't have to pick sides? What if you listen to me for a second? I'm not trying to bring you to a church. I'm not trying to enroll you in my cult. I'm trying to do what I always do, infuse rationality into your already brilliant soul. What if you don't have to choose between science and God? What if they are not enemies? What if they are not opposites, but instead complementing pieces of the whole? They are separate pieces of one thing. Because truth tells us, our experience tells us, that there is more to life than science. And there is more to life than a humanistic or limited angry God. That there is a how and a why. And I'm going to further prove that by showing you that there are different levels of truth. There are different levels of truth. There is absolute truth on different levels. And we use this, we know this in other areas of life. We use and understand different levels of truth. But for some reason, when it comes to the dogma of science and the dogma of God, again, we just glare over, and we are conditioned for thousands of years to glare over and choose sides, be disgusted by one or disgusted by the other. Or indifferent to both. What if you don't have to do that? There are different levels of truth. And the how and the why are those levels. So let's bring the discussion to today. Let's say you have microwave pizza. I don't know why you'd have microwave pizza. But let's say you do. Let's say you have microwave pizza, you have microwave popcorn, whatever it is that you have. I could ask you, hey, why is that pizza hot? Why is that popcorn hot? And you can give me the scientific answer. You can give me the how answer. And say, well, it's hot because the microwave, you turn it on, it does some really cool things with molecules and molecular physics, and it speeds up the molecules and atoms, and it speeds everything up, and it makes your food hot by speeding up and revving up the molecular structure. Yummy. So you could say that your pizza's hot because the molecules were sped up in the microwave, and the microwave rays heated up. And you would be right. That is true. The pizza is hot because of that scientific evidence. But on a totally different level of truth, the why of it It's also true to say, well, that pizza's hot because I'm hungry and I want to have hot pizza. It's also true for that reason. The why is also a source of truth, not just the how, but the why. Same thing with the popcorn. How is that popcorn popping and hot? Well, because I put it in the microwave, and again, molecules, microwave rays, blah, 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 that it makes popcorn, and it's steaming hot. And you can go into a whole scientific discussion of why microwaves do that to food. And then again, a different level of truth is the why. Why is that popcorn hot? Oh, because we're about to sit and watch a movie and we wanted popcorn. That's also true. The how and the why, the science and the God, the pattern and the purpose are not enemies. They are different dimensions of truth. And in order to get the entire truth, you must have both dimensions. The reason we keep looking and seeking for complete knowledge and complete understanding and not getting it is because we're picking one avenue or the other. And we're making the two fight because we have been taught to believe that they are incompatible. And they are not incompatible. When you add the dogma of science and scientific people who tell you, nope, this is the way it is, this is the way it is, this is the way it is, then yes, it's incompatible. When you add the dogma of God, where the religious hijackers say, no, this is the way it happened, this is the way it happened, this is the way it happened, then yes, it's incompatible. But when you have an open mind and use rationality in connection with what you innately know is true, you can get the complete truth by using both of these dimensions of truth. Now, how else does this translate into our day? Let's say you're a prosecutor. Let's say you're a prosecutor and you're prosecuting a big murder trial. There's a murderer who killed somebody. You have to convince the jury of the truth, not just the partial truth, the full truth. And we know this. You can use the science, the how, and say, well, How come this person's dead? And you say, well, the person's dead because a knife went through his heart. And you say, wow. And you can spend hours and days explaining why a steel blade of a knife going through your heart will kill you. What it does, what it ruptures. You could explain what it does to the blood and the blood pressure. And you could explain what it does to the pain and the hurt. You can explain it all, and you will be absolutely telling the truth. You will be explaining the how of this case. As a prosecutor, you will have succeeded in telling the jury how this person died. But are you done there? Is that it? Is the case over? No, we know that the case isn't over. We know the case is only half over because you need the full truth to prosecute this case. We wouldn't think of stopping there. I don't know why we stop there in the rationality of our lives when we know that we wouldn't stop there in the rationality of a court case. We know that once the prosecutor has proven that the steel going through the heart is how that person died, he now needs, in order to prosecute fully, he now needs to explain the other aspect, the why. Now that I've explained how this person died, I need to explain why. The why is because that person over there wanted this person over here dead. And he used the how to fulfill the why. He used the pattern or the how to fulfill the purpose or the why. And it is no different than what you did with the microwave pizza. It's no different than what you did with the popcorn. You had a why. I want pizza. I want popcorn. And you use the how, radiation, microwaves, molecules in motion, speeding up, causing heat. You had the why, and then you used the how to fulfill that purpose. We know this in everyday life. We know in everyday life you need to have the two dimensions, those two dimensions of truth to have the full truth. But for some reason, we get so influenced by these dogmatic imagination killers, the dogmatic scientists and the dogmatic religious enthusiasts, that we forget that we wouldn't accept a partial truth anywhere else in our lives. And that's when I move to my last segment of this. We've talked about science, the how. We've talked about God, the why. We've talked about the truth and the different levels and dimensions of truth that are equally valid and necessary for the big picture, for the complete picture. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about life. We've talked about life for about 1,000 hours on this show, but let's talk about it for a couple of more minutes. What does this mean for your life? Well, for the majority of you, it means that maybe you haven't been so wrong. Maybe you haven't had to feel so guilty for all the things you've been feeling, the questions you've been having. Maybe you don't have to feel guilty for that. Maybe since you've been listening to the scientists say, there is no God, there is no purpose, and you knowing that, you know what, maybe those religious stories are wrong, but I can't help but feel that there is a purpose, there is something greater, there's a reason for this. You don't have to feel silly for thinking that. You can free yourself from the hijacked stories of what you know to be true. And maybe for those of you who have been captured and seized by the religious dogma and peer pressured by your families and your communities, and maybe you can free yourself from the guilt of knowing there's a little bit more. That this does pretty good handle the why, but we've updated our version of the how by so much. So much. That there's so much information on how things work that I don't really need religious structure to explain to me how. They're great for purpose, but they're really not good for pattern. These are things that were written for the most part back when they thought where the earth was flat, back when they thought they didn't even know where the sun went at night. We've greatly updated our version of understanding the how. So maybe I shouldn't feel bad. Maybe I shouldn't feel bad for being connected with God, but still understanding that there is a scientific truth as well. So what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you feel? And I'm asking you this in a rhetorical sense, in a way, because I want you to think about what you believe and think about what you feel and go with that. Not with what somebody else tells you. Go with what inside your heart you know to be true. Not because you think it'll give you a reward in some afterlife, but because innately you know it's true. And as you get older, as you refine your thought process and patterns, go with that. Let yourself have updated versions of what life is. Find the how in your life. Find the why in your life. And go with that. It's the only way to really maximize your experience of life. So stop letting other people tell you what's true for your life. Stop letting other people throw fear and dogma and guilt into your life. What happens if, since this life experience is uniquely yours, why wouldn't you have your own unique ideas of what science, God, truth, and life are. Why do you have to have mine? You don't have to have mine. I ask you to have yours. It's okay if you love science. It's okay if you believe in a presence, in an order. That's fine. Don't let other people tell you that's not okay. Don't be afraid to use that word. The word hasn't lost its power. The idea hasn't lost its power. It's just that it was hijacked by the greatest marketing idea ever. The belief and the marketing slogan of scaring people into giving you money and power. They learn to scare people into money and power, and then they inspire people into money and power. But either way, they're manipulating you to give them money and to give them power. And in that process, they hijack the idea of a God, the idea of an order. So that if you use the word universe instead of God, then it makes you sound like a hippie. And if you use the word God, it makes you sound like a religious zealot. They really place themselves in a fantastic position to make you pick. If you're a scientist and you use the word God, you're almost excommunicated from the community. If you're religious and you use science, you're almost excommunicated from the community. Don't you guys see where poison meets poison equals poison? So take your own truth. Take your own truth and go with that. Know that there is a how. Science is vital. There is definitely a how and a pattern. But this universe has purpose. It has been demonstrated to have purpose. The process of evolution itself proves purpose. Whether it be survival, advancement, refinement, improvement, enhancement, whatever it is, that is a direction. And direction indicates purpose. There is a how, there is a why. And both of those things give you your truth. So take your truth and go with it. Find the hows in your life. Find the whys in your life. And have them work together. No differently than when you want to microwave your food. No differently than when you want to prosecute a court case. Have those work together. The scientific dogmas are always going to be arguing. The religious dogmas are always going to be trying to hijack God and arguing. Don't jump in on that. That has nothing good has ever come of that. Ever, 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 ever. 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 Did I mention ever? It has only brought about arguments, closed conversations, war, death, ravaging. It's been cause of genocide. Ethnic cleansing, as they call it. Poison versus poison can only produce poison. Don't you be a part of that cycle. There are a few of you listening today. Today's show was kind of deep. There are a few of you listening today that know exactly what I'm talking about. And you, on your own truth, on your own level, know, your own life experience has taught you that the happiest, most effective way to live is to bridge these two ideas, to bridge the how, to bridge the why, to get them together. It is when how and why work together that we see the creation of incredible things. It is when the how and the why are in unity, when they are aligned, that you see, feel, and experience all that this universe has to offer. And for me, that was the message of the ancient scriptures. You know, pick your religion. Your ancient scriptures, if you read them without that dogmatic eye, but instead read them as literature written by some maybe ignorant but very insightful people, you see that what they were trying to explain, if it was a tragedy story, it's a tragedy because someone lacked either the how or the why. And if it was a story of fulfillment, a story of victory, then it's because they used the how and the why. If it's the story of Moses getting the Israelites out of slavery, what did they do? They had a why. Our purpose is to get out of enslavement. And what did they do? They used the how. They walked. They walked. It's that simple. There's a story of victory that's been told for thousands of years. And guess what? It had both components. Look back. Look back on stories, not just spiritual, scriptural ones or theologians' stories, but look back on stories in history. The great victories, the great events that have happened in history, look back at them. And when you look back at them, you see that this person or this group or this event had the how, it had the why, and because it had the why and the how together, working together, not fighting each other, but working together, they were able to succeed. They were able to change the world. Get those two working together, and you take away the power each one of those negative forces have had on you. And you immediately turn them into positive forces in your life. You free yourself from the guilt, the ignorance, the betrayal, and the poison of dogmatic thinking. And you open yourself up to an updated version of both. You get an updated version of the how. You get an updated version of the why, which means you get an updated version of the truth, which means finally, you get an updated version of your life, an empowered version with no limits, with immeasurable chances and opportunities for better living, for inspired living, for abundant living, because you are now putting those two forces of how and why together. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I want you to make sure you check out our websites, thebettertoday.com, empoweredlivingradio.com, stevemaraboli.com. Check us out. Share our stuff. We've got picture quotes all over the place on Pinterest, on Twitter, on our Facebook page. We've got videos on YouTube. We've got a blog. We are doing everything we can to make sure the arms of empowerment reach out and embrace everybody 100% free. We've got books, Life, the Truth, and Being Free, and The Power of One, available through Amazon and local and your bookstore, your local bookstore. 100% of every penny we make on these books goes into charities, goes to our Empowered Women programs, goes to our veterans programs, goes to our educational, informational programs, our scholarship programs. We're the real deal. I challenge anyone to do the same. I invite everyone to do the same. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli in Port Washington, New York. I love you all. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.